Yes, you are listening to Rumination Thursday Law and Gospel on this June the 7th in the year of our Lord 2018. And being a Rumination Thursday, it means that with us is our good friend, Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, my last name is Baker. I'm doing good.
So we're going to be talking about Baker today, huh?
Yes, we are. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Baker.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling people all over the place. We're going to take a little time on this. So I think without further ado, would you give a brief summary of what the Supreme Court did in ruling in favor of this Christian cake shop owner who refused to participate in a gay wedding?
A summary. It's a 59-page document, which I boiled down to 5 pages.
Well, that's pretty good. I'm glad you sent me the 59 pages, and it was really quite interesting. I have a much more optimistic view about it than do some people, but why don't you just say what you are thinking most people think was done?
Well, the court decided 7-2 with the justices in favor of the baker. His name was Phillips. And in particular, there's two items that they talked about. In terms of First Amendment rights, the freedom of speech as one, and the freedom to express one's religion. And they decided that that the Colorado Commission on Civil Rights had violated Phillips' rights. They had ruled against him that he should have gone ahead and put a cake and provided a wedding cake to a gay couple for a gay marriage without neutrality towards his, in applying the law, they should have had a neutrality of religious values, and they didn't. And thus, they had violated his rights of religion and freedom of speech.
Yes, I've been reading quite a few gay people indicating that, for example, David Cole, who's the national legal director of the ACLU, who was opposed to what the Supreme Court did, he said, "I represented the wedding cake couple. We lost a battle, but won the war."
Well, how did they win the war?
Yeah, I know. And so I was interested. He said he argued their case. And the court ruled money in favor of the baker, but on the exceedingly narrow ground that the state civil rights commission's consideration was biased by hostility toward religion. And in fact, they said that the court declined to adopt the baker's principal argument that expressive businesses that object to gay and lesbian weddings have a First Amendment right to discriminate. This is a great example where the ACLU is lying again. That is not at all what the baker was saying.
Right, I would agree. I didn't see that at all either. I saw quite the reverse, that the court was very much in favor that his rights have been violated.
His rights were definitely violated, and on religious grounds, you cannot force. This is really critical what they've done, the Supreme Court, wonderfully. You cannot force someone to sin.
Right.
That's what they ended up with saying. And you know why that's important? I don't know how many Lutheran pastors I've heard that are all worried that they're going to be forced to marry gay people. No, they are not. This Supreme Court ruling has definitely taken that off the table.
Right. And they even mentioned that's a pretty clear cut with the clergy. May I add this? I think Thomas came up with a good definition of what a wedding cake is, Clarence Thomas, and I think it's worth repeating. He said, "Wedding cakes do in fact communicate a message that a wedding has occurred. And there's two purposes for a wedding cake. It marks the beginning of a new marriage, and it celebrates the couples being married. I thought that was pretty clear, crystal clear. Yeah, if someone's against it, you wouldn't make a wedding cake for it.
Well, you see, once more, I didn't read that part of Thomas, but once more, he seems to have missed the point, is that the baker was not just asked to do the wedding cake, but to bring it to the wedding and participate in the ceremony.
Well, Neil Gorsuch, in his, talks about that.
Oh, good.
And, yeah, it's in the opinions, somewhere in the opinions, where he was supposed to come and cut it and see to it that it was done right.
Now, see, here's what the ACLU is doing, and LGBT people, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, Q, whatever that means, they're trying to give the indication that people think the Supreme Court said you can discriminate against homosexuals. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say I'm a clerk at Schnucks. And people are coming through the line buying groceries. Schnucks is a grocery store. And I see two men coming forward, and they're holding hands. And it's obvious that they have been married. I cannot, as a Christian, refuse to help them purchase those items. Nobody is saying that you cannot continue to give services to gay people just because they're gay. Because when I have them go through the line and they buy those groceries, they're not causing me to sin.
Right. And in fact, some of the justices would said that in countless pages of reading, said the same thing as what you are talking about. I think what was critical is when, you know, having him go to the wedding and cut the cake,
right,
be a part of it. One of the justices says this was a mind-to-mind thing, that they were actually trying to force Phillips to believe as they believed.
Exactly. And in fact, we now have the evidence that these guys were looking for bakers that would have Christian morality and therefore refused to do this in order that they could do a suit against them.
I kind of wondered that, because he had turned down six others, and they seem to have found bakers, you know, bakeries that would suit their needs.
Now, one of the most interesting articles is by a lesbian, Sarah Posner Twitter. That's her name, believe it or not. And here's what she says about the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision. She starts, "The Masterpiece Cake Shop decision is not as harmless as you think. Justice Kennedy's narrow ruling could open the floodgates for other suits designed to chip away LGBTQ rights."
Mm.
And her article shows how that's true. Justice Kennedy, and, you know, 7-2, even if we lose him, we still have 6-4. I'm not at all concerned that we as pastors are going to be forced to have to serve homosexuals in marriages and this sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't see where that would take away the rights of a gay person to go out and get married or live out their life.
You know, and I've mentioned this before, in part time, and mainly in the evenings, I drive for Lyft or Uber. Those are those taxi cabs. There are about six places in St. Louis that if you go in that area, you're bound to get a ride within 10, 15 minutes. Three of them have a whole number of bars and shops, etc., but in the midst of them are definitely homosexual bars. And it is not at all unusual that I will get a call from a gay couple and I'll pick them up. And I don't look at them and I say, "Are you folks gay?" And if they say yes, I say, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you any service." No, that is ridiculous. Christians, in fact, that's one of the reasons I like going to those areas, because I leave it up to God, because if they don't talk to me, I normally don't talk to them because they're talking to one another in the back seat. But if they ask me, do you do this often? I say, no, I have a radio show. I'm a pastor. And we start getting into religion. And I remember that one encounter I had where they actually invited me into the bar to talk to them. And we had a great conversation. And I think that's God's way of wanting me to pick up homosexual people in order to try and help them understand what an abomination is their lifestyle. And I don't miss words.
Right. Well, you're expressing a right of free speech. And they, too, in kind talking back to you, are expressing their right of free speech. But there was no denial of services to them.
No. And see, this is what LGBT people are saying, that the Supreme Court did not say there's a denial of services. I agree with that. But there is a denial of services when you're going to cause me to sin.
Right. In fact, the Commission on Discrimination from Colorado that had originally ruled against Phillips called his religious belief irrational, offensive.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And they even talked about how Christians down through the ages have caused much violence. Yeah, when you read this LGBT stuff, they're talking about that this is hatred against these people. All you do is do what I often do, because I don't see a distinction between an unrepentant homosexual and a pedophile. Mm-hmm. And if you would put the word pedophile in here, who would be arguing against? That would be like, let's say that I have an escort service that's legal, where somebody wants somebody to be with them when they go to a dance or something like that. And when somebody comes to me and says, what I want is a little boy around 6 years old, and I know what he's going to be thinking about, I'm not going to do that as a Christian.
No, you would.
No. And the Supreme Court would hold me up on that. But what people haven't understood, and this is a point that I'm making again and again, is unrepentant homosexuals are pedophiles because they talk to children saying that what their lifestyle is, namely being a homosexual, is not an abomination before Almighty God. And that contradicts the Bible very clearly, that he who offends one of these little ones, and the word offend there means cause them to sin. That'd be mm-hmm. better the millstone be put around his neck, he drowned in the deepest sea. No, we're not saying that's what should happen today, but Jesus was just making a point of how serious it is when you give false teaching to little children.
Children. And you know, and in this opinion, they do talk about protecting the civil rights of gay people, so it's not as if under the Constitution they're being left out. What they are talking about is just what one of them wrote, is this gay couple were seeking to get a mind-to-mind differences, that they were going to try and get this guy to actually admit that it was okay for gay marriage.
Yes, and that's why, boy, you really got to be careful when you're looking at the internet and you're seeing the homosexual point of view. I only found one article by a homosexual, this Sarah Twitter, who was very honest, saying that this could open the floodgates for other suits designed to chip away our rights. And, of course, they think they have the right to be married. Well, not in a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they don't.
Right. It really is a civilian matter than a church matter.
Exactly. In fact, if they wanted to come to communion, let's say it was a visitor to your church and they were not Lutheran, of course, would you permit them to come to communion?
Oh, no.
You see, and that has nothing to do with their lifestyle, with their skin color, with their race. It has to do with what the Lord has showed us, that when we allow someone to come to communion who isn't properly taught about what is happening there and agrees with it, they can not only get sick, according to 1 Corinthians 11, they can also die.
Right. And even among us as Christians, we have disagreements on communion. You know, it goes back to the first four centuries, where the altar that you communed at was the altar that you confessed at.
That's a really important point that a lot of people don't realize, because they think communion is like, we wouldn't hesitate to baptize someone who wanted to be baptized, but we would hesitate to give them the Lord's Supper because of the negative consequences one can receive if he does not do it properly. And therefore, you have whole denominations like Presbyterians, etc., who don't believe it's the body and blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, or, you know, one of the arguments in talking with people that I knew disagreed with our statement is, I said, you're coming to our altar and you're going to confess exactly the same way that we do.
Yes.
And then they go, no. And I said, well, there you go.
Yeah, and I've often used that when somebody comes. We had a lot of baptisms at my former congregation, and there were relatives who would come. And I always tried to do baptism on days that were not the Lord's Supper, but then we went to every Sunday Lord's Supper, so that was not possible to do. And say a Baptist would come up to me and said, you know, we're friends of those who are being baptized who are members of your congregation. Can we take the Lord's Supper? And I would say, if you come forward to take the Lord's Supper, you are saying that the Baptist church is a false teaching church when it denies infant baptism. And they would look at me and say, well, I can't say that. And I said, well, then you shouldn't be coming forward, because that's what you are saying when you come forward.
Right. Yeah, you definitely are leaving behind the other, and you're taking hold of the confession. And our confession, by the way, as Lutherans, comes strictly out of the Bible.
Yeah, in fact, I was watching EWTN last night. That's the Roman Catholic. These guys are good. A lot. I mean, first of all, they're in about 500 cities. I don't know why the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod doesn't do this and then put President Harrison speaking all the time, say once a week. This would be tremendous. But at any rate, the one I was listening to, I totally disagreed with, because the bishop was talking about why he became Roman Catholic. He used to be Protestant. He said, well, in the Protestant faith, it's Scripture interprets Scripture. And he said, every time you go to the Bible, you can have 10 different interpretations of a verse. I became Roman Catholic because my mind isn't good enough to decide which is the correct verse, but we have the magisterium, namely the Pope. And that's the reason I became Roman Catholic, because now I know the true interpretation from the Pope of each verse.
Well, that's another man making an interpretation.
I heard that, I said, what, was the Pope got a better brain than you? Is he inspired to a level? Of course, they believe that he is, him and the magisterium of the church. And then, of course, it's the Pope that you got the teaching about praying to Mary, even though she's dead in the grave. It was the Pope that talks about, where's that place they go to after they die? Purgatory. There's nothing in the Bible about those things. So he was really coming strong against Scripture, interpret Scripture.
Well, let's put it this way, that Bakerism theology is the art of making distinction.
Yes.
Interpreting Scripture is getting God's way of thinking into it, not our way of thinking.
Well, he said that when I look at a Bible passage, I'm often confused as to what it means. And I'm yelling at the TV, that's because you don't know the difference between law and gospel. It's so clear. Once you understand law and gospel, those passages like the Sermon on the Mount that gives the impression, here's the things you need to do in order to be holy like your Father. That's a preaching of the law to show you can't do those things.
Was Louise in the room?
She's never in the room when I'm looking at television programs like that.
my wife, when I shout at the TV, says they can't hear you.
Well, but then we keep shouting on KFUO.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm really pleased with this Supreme Court ruling because I think the pending... Okay, yes. If the Supreme Court is doing a case where a clerk in a store doesn't want to ring up the charges for a homosexual, they would say, no, you are not allowed to do that, and they would be correct.
Right, and that would be for any race, color, creed,
yes,
orientation.
It doesn't matter, regardless. If that were true, then look at all these cooks that go to prison and cook for prisoners. What are you going to do, refuse to cook for them because they had done some terrible deed? No. But if you are forced to sin, this is so clear, and a pastor would be forced to sin to pretend that there is a possibility of a marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman.
And that was exactly what happened to that baker by the name of Phillips. They were trying to force him into sinning.
Oh, absolutely. They just didn't recognize it, and they put it in terms that could be understood. But that's why the attack against his faith was so important there.
Yeah, it was Gorsuch that said they were trying to get him to a mind-to-mind approach for same-sex wedding in their marriage, and therein lies his right for religious freedom to deny the request.
Yes, and I can understand that it wasn't a First Amendment issue. What is the First Amendment?
Well, it's the right to speak your mind now.
Yeah, I'll tell you. In Canada, this is really a problem. They're making a law there in Canada. It's Bill, I think, U-51, where you no longer can refer to a person as a he or a she. You have to put the letter Z in front of both.
And aren't they not allowed to speak out against gays or lesbians?
Exactly.
When I was talking to somebody that we were going to talk about this, and they said, well, what's the difference? I said, go to Canada.
Yes.
I said, you're not allowed to do this anymore.
Yeah, there's a professor at one of the universities there who has been threatened with losing his job because he's coming out against this nonsense about referring to people. In fact, yesterday, I don't know if you heard me, but I was talking about this school that now insists that boys can go into the girls' washroom anytime they want.
Are you kidding me?
No. And guess what? A court backed them up. Yeah. Yeah, listen to yesterday's Insight Wednesday. That's what I was talking about. And that's why we in the church needs to take a stronger stand against this immorality, because a lot of teenagers aren't hearing the opposite side of how God thinks about these things. And if you allow this to continue, the pendulum swings. There's no doubt about it. Just as it has with abortion, is that you're now getting states who are trying to adopt laws that you cannot abort if the fetus has a heartbeat, for example. That's tremendous. So we're winning that war, but we still have a long way to go.
So bringing this to a conclusion, you would say it's a law gospel approach in explaining this.
Absolutely. And the law is God's law. He created man, male and female. And any kind of thinking of gay marriage is absolutely an abomination before Almighty God.
Yeah, their quarrel is with God.
Yes. Yeah, not with us. And therefore, the Supreme Court has now ruled, I think, tremendously, that if it's causing you to sin, you don't have to do it.
I agree. I 100% on target.
All righty. Thanks so much. Be with us next Thursday, hopefully.
Oh, it'd be great to be with you.
Okay. You came up with a good subject, and I appreciate all the papers that you sent to me, all 300 of them.
There was a lot.
That one ruling, I thought it was a two-page ruling, 50-plus pages. Okay, yeah. Thanks so much, Wes. And that was Wes Reimnitz, and he's with me on Rumination Thursdays. We'll be back next Thursday. Of course, we have Mark Smith on Rumination Tuesday. And tomorrow's open mic. Maybe you have a question about what we said. Tomorrow, phone us 800-730-2727. God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.